אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Today we meet 87-year-old historian and volunteer Joe Kensel. Joe is a pillar of Sydney's Jewish community and a recent recipient of one of Australia's highest honours for service to the community. Joe's devoted his retirement to preserving nearly two centuries of Jewish marriage records and along the way unearthed stories that reshape how we understand early Australia. Joe shares with SBS Hebrew how his journey started.
When I gave up paid work, I started going 2 days a week as a volunteer to the Great Synagogue, working as a volunteer in the office. And following a telephone call one day, I discovered that there was no easy way of checking anything simple like a marriage. So what I started doing then, on the 2 days a week that I was in the office, I started off by bringing intern, as I typed them into the computer, making an Excel spreadsheet, one column for the bride, one for the groom, and one for the date, of going through the marriage registers that I discovered and helped conserve is the original Jewish wedding register, which was just an exercise book, which starts off with the first Jewish marriage on the 1st of February, 1832.
At some point, Joe realised that the registers didn't tell the whole story. He had to change his approach.
One day, I had an inquiry and I discovered that the couple named weren't in the marriage register, but the person ringing up was adamant they had got married at the Great Synagogue. Also, collected in the Great Synagogue and still there were marriage applications starting from when the Great Synagogue became a legal entity in 1878 was the marriage applications. I finally found the marriage application for the couple that had been inquired about, and I discovered, though, written on the marriage application in black ink was from the minister at the time that the couple had been previously married by a registrar before he went to war. That woke up to me another avenue that I would have to check. I also then started making a list separately of going through all those marriage applications, and where I saw written on the marriage application that the couple had previously been married by a registrar or a celebrant, or in some instances overseas, then I typed their names into the list but started a new column where in red ink I put the Hebrew word huppah only to explain then that there was nothing in the Great Synagogue's marriage register. I hope that others synagogues hope they follow the same system, because it became very apparent at the start of, especially the start of World War One, of couples being married by a registrar before the husband went to war. But apparently the thinking was, and not, you know, not really known what the government would do, but I gather from some of the remarks in the marriage applications that it was done to cover the wife if something happened to the husband at war. That made sense to me, and that's why over the years I've added things like hooper only, meaning that they got registered civil marriage elsewhere.
Joe also uncovered earlier colonial stories that didn't appear in the standard Australian histories. His research on Jewish marriages in those early days led to other interesting discoveries.
Back in the colony days, there was nobody authorised to do Jewish marriages. Usually, the male normally was a convict, and there weren't that many females, but I'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. And they were got married by people like the Reverend Samuel Marsden. The historians, and especially Orthodox rabbis, would not accept them as a Jewish wedding. The fact, though, that any children born of the mother, if she was Jewish, then they definitely were accepted as Jews. Something that doesn't show in the normal Australian histories, we had the first fleet that came. Somebody in the bureaucracy advised Lord Melbourne and Lord Sydney, who were the two, the House of Lords, who set up the first fleet, that there have been very few females amongst the convicts. With the people that also came with the first fleet convicts were a number of families amongst the troops and other people, but there weren't very many convicts. After the first fleet, there was a ship sent out called the Lady Juliana with over 300 female convicts. They were all ladies of the night. They were the easiest ones for the bureaucracy to get hold of. It, for many, many, many years, held the record for the length of time it took the ship to get from England to Australia. The ship stopped off in places like Portugal, Spain, to take water and wine, etc. And apparently, my understanding is the captain of the ship let the ladies ply their trade, and one of them fell pregnant. The baby was born on the ship before the ship arrived in Australia. So we had a second instance of a convict with a baby, a young person, where the convict was a convict, but their child was a free person. In Canberra now, one of the government buildings is called the Juliana. There's the name of the building. It's named after that ship.
Joe's connection with the Great Synagogue would lead to discoveries about his own roots, his ancestors, and how his family history intersects with his research.
My mum's family was the Josephs. Moses Joseph was a convict. He got permission from the governor to bring his fiancée out, who the research showed his fiancée actually was a cousin. But at the same time, the chief rabbi in London had sent a 25-year-old religious Jew out to Australia with authority to perform Jewish weddings and interments. And the first one then was wedding was Moses Joseph and Rosetta Nathan. I'm descended from. Since then, Moses Joseph became the president of the Bridge Street Synagogue, and with his wife, and to me, I believe she was the brains of the family. They had started a business and they became very wealthy. He bought the land, then donated it to the congregation, for which I have never forgiven him. That became the York Street Synagogue. Another funny little bit of general history, he discovered that land was starting to be sold in New Zealand, and he got on a sailing ship, went to New Zealand, bought a big block of land, which in later years became the Auckland suburb of Ponsonby, where, funnily enough, my wife was born. That's what researching history can do for you. Other thing was, he bought a sailing ship, named it after his wife, was the Rosetta, and I have a photo of the Rosetta on my wall. My mum, she was named after her grandmother, Rosetta, and this is where I believe the brains was his wife. Eventually news came to Australia via sailing ships that gold had been found on the west coast of America. And in the store or shop, whatever you like to call it, the things that they sold were tin plates, tin mugs, etc. for what was then, you know, mining had started here in Australia. So he loaded onto the Joseph a pile of shovels, pitchforks, metal plates, etc., etc., and it sailed to America for it all to be sold. The two of them ended up wealthy, and I have always believed that legally he obtained, in inverted commas, a free pardon. But my thinking was a leather pouch was probably dropped on some bureaucrat's desk. But he was given a free pardon, which enabled him and Rosetta to return to England. And that's where the two of them are now buried. Funny enough, people knew what sort of researching I would do, or I was doing, and a Louise Rosenberg had gone to London. She was a wonderful historian, and she found the graves and the headstones of both Morris and Rosetta, and she took photos of the headstones, and when she got back gave me copies of those two, so they're now in my family folder.
Remarkably, Joe Kensell officially became the marriage records man at the Great Synagogue when he retired from the corporate sector.
Basically, I went away in the Merchant Navy as a 16-year-old apprentice, retired from physically going to sea at the age of 30, but continued working in the shipping industry. Then in 1980, went to work for the stevedoring of the P&O Group in Australia as their commercial manager, and discovered that while I could handle all the practical side, I knew very little of commercial side of business, like economics and things like that. So I went back to university and at the age of 50 got a graduate degree in business. Then somebody on the board realised that I had all the practical knowledge, but also to satisfy those with an MBA, I had a business degree, and they made me a consultant, and I ended up still going all around the world as a consultant for the P&O Group until I finally retired from all paid work at the end of 2001, then took my wife for her first trip to Singapore, the UK and the continent.
Joe Kensell was acknowledged on January 26, 2026, a few days before the 30th of January, a day of great significance not only in his life but also in Australian Jewish history.
The 30th, that's the anniversary of my mother's death. My mum was a woman that couldn't do any wrong according to her, and she just used to cross the road expecting the cars to give way to her, but one didn't. The 30th is the anniversary of my mum's being dead on arrival at Marrickville Hospital. And it's one of those things that those records, and the original marriage register was just an exercise book started by P.J. Cohen, the gentleman that arrived with a letter of authority from the chief rabbi. And it lists quite a number then of the marriages and other things that he did. And that now resides in honour in the humidity and temperature controlled space of the Sydney Historical Society.
Joe has become a living library for both the Jewish community and the wider Australian public. He speaks modestly about what sustains his research and hopes his work inspires people to engage with history.
I did what I do, and I do it voluntarily, and I realise now it's very nice that people acknowledge what one has done, but I have never done it for acclamation. It's done voluntarily. Other people also get very interested in researching history. For once, I helped the New South Wales Police, who discovered that the first police detective in the colony was a Jewish convict, and they wanted to make a memorial to him after they were able to prove he was the first employed detective. And I was able to advise them where he was buried at the initial Rookwood Cemetery. But at that time, there was nobody alive to arrange a headstone for him. So when this became apparent, the police had a very big ceremony there, and the Jewish community itself paid to put up a headstone marking the grave, because the police went up there with their ground-searching radar to prove that there was a body in the spot that we said. Because of that historical research, the grave of the first police detective in Australia is now in place. That piece of history has been photographed and was in most of the newspapers of the day. But at the same time, my wife and family now are exceedingly fond of Papa Joe for the fact that he has been recognised for doing something that he just wanted to do.
Historian and volunteer Joe Kensel speaking about his life second act, preserving Jewish marriage records and uncovering forgotten corners of Australia's past. This feature was produced in collaboration with Bertrand Tangandame for SBS Hebrew.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.